know what I mean? Maybe things will go better for your New Orleans Saints. You know what I mean? Know what I mean? Maybe things will go better. That's all I'm saying.
We better hope they go better.
Oh, come on. Things will go better. You have no faith, no confidence, no hope?
Not from what I saw on Monday night.
But that was just one game. That's the one thing I want to chat about today, obviously, is we'll get into, again, a day closer for Saints and Raiders getting on Sunday Night Football, kind of a primetime matchup there. Saints are good. You're going to hear all the stats, right? I mean, so, you know, they do well in bounce back games in prime time, all kinds of different things, Jordan, that the Saints should bounce back. Things should go better, right? You know what I'm getting at? It should be a better weekend. Should be a better weekend. Should be. Bottom line is this. Do you see what's behind us here in the studio?
Clear skies?
Blue sky. When's the last time you saw blue sky for a while?
Weeks.
Right? It felt like it rained every day. Feel like we had storms everywhere. I don't think there's any storms anywhere to even talk about. So I'm saying it should be a better weekend.
There was I forgot where it was, but I think it made a U-turn, and it's coming back towards Florida.
We're not going to go there.
Gender Day was Thursday. Today is Friday. We so excited.
You notice I went with the remix today, huh?
We've been doing the remix.
No, it's only when I need it. I need it today.
Tomorrow is Saturday.
The Falcons are optimistic.
Are they?
Tweeted out seconds ago.
Oh, there we go. Bring it out.
The only thing we can do is control what we do moving forward. On Sunday, it's time to battle Mitchell Trubisky in the stands with a little minute video.
Imagine being scared of Mitchell Trubisky. That's where they feel. It's Friday. Welcome to the show. Gus Cattingale, Jordan Kleber. Got your normal host of characters on Fridays. Let's sprinkle in some different ones here as well to get you ready. Not only, Jordan, for Saints and Packers on Sunday, but also LSU kicks things off. They will take on Mississippi State. All you hear about is everybody in the SEC West but the Tide, the defending national champion, LSU Tide. So they lost 14 players to the NFL. Have a different passing game coordinator and a brand new defensive coordinator. They still have Coach O. Does that make you feel better? 40-point beating coming on Saturday. What do you think?
40?
Yeah, 40-point. That's not my prediction. I'm trying to make everyone feel better.
Surely it'll be a fun
Saturday afternoon in Tiger Stadium in front of tens, not thousands. It's just so different. Everything is just different. But look, I'm positive it's going to be a good weekend.
I wonder.
I really honestly am. Look, you could be the Falcons. If they go down 0-3, I mean, you could be the Falcons.
Raphael should take. Actually, yeah, I have a great idea for Raphael. He needs to take advantage of every college that's hosting a home game the first week.
Okay.
And it needs to be over under amount of citations that are handed out by the school for gatherings over the amount.
Oh, you're talking about tailgating.
Yes.
No.
Because the dorms. Yeah. I know a couple people that have gotten in trouble because they've maybe had a few too many people inside their dorm room.
Partying
a little bit.
So you can't even be in the dorm room.
No. Because they'll knock at your door. Hey, who's in there? Search your room. And they'll sign.
Jordan Kleber, open the door.
Yep.
Wow, really? Yep. They're going door to door?
Raphael needs to do this.
That's
over under. How many citations are handed out in the first week of the college football season?
I'm going to say it's going to be darn near impossible to make sure that zero people tailgate tomorrow in Baton Rouge.
It's virtually impossible.
It's impossible.
If everyone just shows up, I don't know what can you do?
What if I technically set up my tent and put it sideways, like say take three of them? You don't see what's inside the tent. What if you can't see inside the tent? Then how do you know what I'm doing?
And you have taped off areas for how far apart everyone should be.
What about the mobile home crew? You know, the people with the mobile buses, the $250,000 mobile
homes. I'm sure that they already have all that.
I mean, are you allowed to do? I mean, can you?
I don't think so.
Because, I mean, what if I'm inside my bus? If I'm inside my bus.
But those people usually get outside of the
bus. I understand that. But
they
I
go to other buses.
I don't know that. I honestly don't know. Eric Alexander is going to join us, LSU Game Day Live over on CST. And, of course, national champion and world champion with the Tigers and the New England Patriots. He's going to join us every Friday now. Jordan, it used to be Thursday. We're going to do Friday. We're going to give him his own special little time
there. I like that.
Friday, 1:30s, he will join us. Raphael's 1:15. Beverages with Brie at 1:45. We'll find out what you shouldn't be tipping back, or maybe. Maybe you need to tip it back this weekend. I mean, if the Tigers don't do well.
If the Tigers are playing, you better be tipping it back.
Well, no. See, you got to enjoy yourself. Remember, it's a game on CBS. That's 4.5 hours. Yes. It's going to be a while.
How's Chip doing? We need to talk to Chip.
Well, again, I'm not the producer. Am I the producer?
Somewhat. Maybe a little bit. You help me out.
That really is shameful you didn't get Chip today. Maybe I'll try to get him during the break.
I don't think I have Chip's number.
How do you not have Chip Patterson's number?
I don't know. You
do know
boys.
Your title on the show, don't you? What is your title again?
Multiple titles.
I understand, but one of them is?
Producer.
Producer. Do you not have Chip's number? Oh, you're special.
I think it's someone from Green Bay today.
Appreciate that. That's really, you know what? Hey, way to come through. His name is Matt Schneiden.
Yeah.
Schneiderman.
That's what I'm going with.
Schneikman.
Hey, Schneiderman. I got the guy.
Schneiderman.
I got the guy. You better figure out how to say his last name.
I'll figure it out. It's Matt Schneiderman. He covers the Packers for the Athletic, and we mean no disrespect. So we're going to have back-to-back Athleticos. Larry Holder of the Athletic covers the Saints, 12:15. Matt, 12:30, covers the Packers. At 12:30, we'll have that. So that's our guest list questions of the day. We have a couple of them. We don't have to talk about the Lakers today, do we?
No, we have to.
We do?
Just a little bit. I got to vent. I have to vent.
I don't really think we really
Travis
need
had
to.
The nerve no, to tweet at me
well,
last
you
night.
Notice he was dead quiet until the game ended.
Yeah.
Because he was nervous as you know what they were going to lose that game. And let me tell you something. This is all we need to say about that Lakers game. You saw it. If you watched the game, there's only one soundbite I need to play today. One. That's it. And it's this one from head coach Mike Malone of your Denver Nuggets.
They went to the foul line 35 times. I think I'm going to have to go through the proper channels like they did to see if we can figure out how we can get some more free throws. And I think late in the game, I thought Jamal Murray attacked the basket a few times where it appeared to be contact. So we'll watch the film and we'll send our clips in and we'll reach out to the NBA and kind of make our points noted. And whether them going through the proper channels affected tonight or not, I have no idea. The NBA does a great job of listening. And then hopefully, you know, you hope that next game, maybe some of those fouls are called.
I ain't insinuating anything.
That's the problem.
I'm not insinuating a thing. But when a guy takes a jump shot and rolls his glass ankle, Anthony Davis, and a foul is called, when no one touches him, and a foul is called for not giving him room to land, I think that's what the foul was, not giving, he didn't land on anybody. He landed on the floor. His left ankle rolled by himself. And you know what you saw? Sheet. There it is. Arms straight up in the air. Official. Foul. When that's going on, you got no shot. And you said it earlier in the show yesterday. The story on ESPN, CBS Sports, name an outlet. What was the story?
Lakers complaining. LeBron not getting to the line.
No calls.
Enough.
No calls. We get no calls. Apparently, they didn't watch game one. Nah. You know, where Murray and Jokic had three fouls apiece in the first half. We didn't watch that game either.
when it gets to this point, NBA, it doesn't.
It's tough to watch.
It's not fun anymore. Because you know that's the reason why those calls were made.
All we talk about is winning time from LeBron when he picked up Murray there in the fourth quarter. It's called fouling time.
I don't think.
Fouling time. He fouled the out of Murray.
And then I love how he comes to the media and says, man, I went to the guys. I got him.
Yeah, I got him.
I knew what I had to do.
Yeah, I know what you do. You knew exactly what you had to do.
No all-time great player.
Well, the least he can do. He missed free throws.
Pats himself on the back as much as
LeBron. Once again, Anthony Davis, which remarkably, again, entered the fourth quarter with one rebound.
Exactly.
By the way, I'm telling you, if they don't get help from the Zebras yesterday, they lose that game.
Well, what rolled me was Travis was saying,
it's
incredible. They deserve those. They've earned those calls.
Hey, there we go.
So now it's a beauty competition.
You earned it.
Or what you've done in the past games, not what's actually going on at that second.
Let me tell you what's amazing. Who did the post-game interview?
LeBron James.
It's incredible. Because once again, why did they win?
Anthony Davis.
Imagine that.
Scored their first 10 points of the game.
Even Kendrick Perkins can't hide his love anymore.
AD is a generation of talent, one of one. He's a big man with guard skills offensively. Defensively, he should have won Defensive Player of the Year, able to switch 1 through 5. We haven't seen nothing like Anthony Davis. So to answer your question and your today's poll question, yes.
There you go. Yeah. It's incredible.
Travis's point was, he's earned that.
He's earned it. Yeah.
He didn't get those calls a year ago.
It's incredible.
What has he done differently?
Again, I am not actively rooting against the Lakers, I promise.
I'm vocally rooting against the Lakers. I don't care. I'm not hiding.
Well, my point is, I would say this both sides, honestly. I don't like officiating determining the games.
And it was clear as day.
If you're going to let them play, let them play. And you saw it from the get-go. Lakers had to establish a physical presence from the get-go. They were all over Denver in the first half. I mean, they were just physical, right? I mean, JaVale McGee was basically inside the jersey of Jamal Murray. I mean, then there was no fouls called, ever. So, if I don't care. We can be aggressive. We can. But you cannot call a foul on someone when your boy takes a jumper, lands on his own ankle, and rolls it. And there it is, arm straight in the air, foul. What? I mean, like what? It just takes away from it. Because, again, then you do go, well, is this scripted?
So now all you have to do is complain to the NBA, and you're going to get your way.
Denver missed shots. Jokic was not good yesterday like he had been.
Last three minutes of the game, they didn't make a single shot.
That's what I'm saying. So that's not exactly why they lost it.
Yeah.
It didn't help.
Right.
It didn't help. Okay? I mean, there were times they got the lead to 2, to 3, to 1. Then the Lakers would go on a run and go back to the free throw line. That's the only reason Mike Malone's bringing it up and why I'm bringing it up. Because 4 separate times in that game, they got it down to 1, 2, or 3, and whistle. Couple of free throws, a missed shot, then it ballooned back to 7 or 9. Again, though, that's just what it is, though, right? I mean, look, when you play the 1 seed, when you play a favorite, you have to overcome those things. It's tough. I get it. But again, some of those other guys didn't make shots. Michael Porter Jr., better in the second half. First half, terrible. Wide open shots. Couldn't knock them down. So, there's my Lakers take. Easy enough. Hour one is brought to you by the King Firm. Don't play the game of claims by insurance companies. You've been injured in an accident, ring the King. 504-909-KING. Larry Holder, The Athletic. We'll start talking Saints and Packers. His take. He told me not to panic on Monday. What is he going to tell me today? We'll tell you that next on ESPN New Orleans.
Teaming up to create a healthier community, Coastal Broadcasting and Thibodeau Regional Medical Center present Health Watch.
Physical therapy for health issues or following an injury can be very beneficial and help restore your physical function. One form of physical therapy that makes exercise and treatment less painful and as a result more successful, leading to an improved quality of life, is aquatic therapy.
Aquatic therapy takes place in the water under the supervision of a trained therapy expert and uses water resistance instead of weights. People of all ages, including those with special needs and physical limitations, can benefit from aquatic therapy. It can even be used if someone does not know how to swim.
Thibodaux Regional is proud to offer cutting-edge aquatic therapy equipment. The HydroWorks therapy pool is designed to be very versatile so that a wide variety of patients with certain health conditions can be treated, such as paralysis, stroke rehabilitation, arthritis therapy and relief, post-surgical rehab, and so much more. What makes the HydroWorks therapy pool effective is its innovative use of technology to promote healing. One key element is the underwater treadmill. Using an underwater treadmill monitored by video cameras promotes proper gait and encourages correct biomechanics while walking or running underwater. Another key component is the movable floor. For patients with mobility issues, the HydroWorks therapy pool has a movable floor that makes it easy for children, older adults, or anyone with orthopedic conditions to get in and out of the pool without using steps or ladders.
Aquatic therapy and athletics go hand in hand. Let me show you how our HydroWorks therapy pool can help keep athletes safely in the game. Pool workouts following an athletic injury have been clinically proven to be an important part of the recovery process. Completing HydroWorks therapy workouts after an athletic injury can have the following benefits: increase mobility and strength, maintain fitness levels, decrease swelling, improve the balance and stability, and pain relief. Buoyancy allows for more range of motion and can increase joint flexibility. The warm water also helps improve circulation, relax muscles, and improve healing.
If you have questions about aquatic therapy, please call the Outpatient Rehabilitation Center at 985-493-4782.
Aquatic therapy and athletics go hand in hand. Pool workouts following an athletic injury have been clinically proven to be an important part of the recovery process.
If you have questions about aquatic therapy, please call the Outpatient Rehabilitation Center at 985-493-4782.
985-493-4502 or www.thibodaux.com.
Health Watch is a presentation of Coastal Broadcasting and Thibodaux Regional Medical Center. For more information on the Sports Medicine Center of Thibodaux Regional, call 985-493-4502 or visit thibodaux.com.
Dad, this is fun. I didn't think I'd like kayaking.
Well, I'm glad you enjoyed it, but I think it's time to head back in.
Okay. Can we come back?
Sure. Hey, be careful getting out of the boat.
It's a kayak, Dad.
I'm going to return the kayak.
Can we walk home?
How about a taxi?
It's a short fare from your neighborhood to your naturehood. Visit discovertheforest.org to find a neighborhood park or green space near you.
How can we be excited about a show where we just talk?
Talk sports.
That's how they talk in the Major League.
Now back to the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengau.
To Mario Davis.
I mean, it's a tough challenge. They wanted to prove to be one of the top teams in our league year in, year out, led by a phenomenal quarterback. It's definitely certainly going to be a challenge for us. But I think it's the most important game because it's the next game.
Bring in Larry Holder of The Athletic. Sir, how are you this afternoon?
I'm good, Goose, and I'm surprised you didn't call me Tuesday to, like, call me in a panic, because I told you last week, like, if you the did. Saints lost, don't call me. Mm-hmm. And I'm sure you were like, one flew over the cuckoo's nest, I assume.
Well, you know, and here's the thing. You told me not to panic, so I wanted to digest it, delve into it, make sure I could look into it. We had Deuce Windham on, part of the Athletic crew with you guys as well, and he looked at the film and everything. So I'm not ready to panic just yet. So let me get your take first. What did you see? Because my conclusion basically came down to this. I thought it was a really good game plan by Oakland. The Saints didn't adjust well on the defensive side. On offense, I'm bewildered. And I do think they can bounce back at some point. They're still a good team. That's basically where I'm at on Friday.
Oh, they're still a good team. Now, I'm not going to jump and say, boy, I think for sure they're going to bounce back against the Packers, because you know how I do my weekly cheat sheet. That's up right now at The Athletic. And the Packers are good all over the map right now through two games. And so, you know, and then you could also say, well, look at the quality of the opponents. Vikings aren't very good. Lions aren't very good. So you could maybe do that. But like, I feel like the defense once they got up 17-7, it's almost like they just kind of put it in cruise control. And overall, like the whole unit, because we saw they played well the week before against, in my eyes, a better team. And so it's definitely something puzzling. I'm also just wondering, man, let's get a – it's like the old days of when they couldn't defend a tight end. I mean, Darren Wall is one of the best in the league, and good thing that Green Bay doesn't have a potent tight end, because I'd be worried about that aspect. But I do feel like the defense can bounce back. Offensively, though, I'm wondering – I'm kind of with you. Like, what do we make of this? You know, it's not just 1 week. You know, it's 2 weeks of – offensive sluggishness. And outside of Alvin Kamara, you know, you could look everywhere and say, man, what's going on? You know, we're going to assume Michael Thomas isn't going to play. And, you know, how does this passing game get going? And, you know, you could point all over the map, really, and say offensively, man, they're struggling, like I said, outside of Kamara.
You know, why I said I was bewildered as well, too, is, and again, taking coaches' words and taking Drew Brees' words, where Brees is like, look, we have to get on in sync and things of that nature. Sean mentioned this week, Larry, that spacing and things of that nature are still, and timing are an issue. I could get and buy all of that when it comes to, say, Sanders, right? A guy who last week going into the Raiders game said, for him, it's been an adjustment. So many different formations and things of that nature. He's new. But Josh Hill's been here forever since he ruined my day with the end around against the Jets. You know, I mean, he's been here forever. I will never forget that. Jared Cook's been here a while. That offensive line's been together other than when Ruiz came in, but he didn't start. So I'm just confused as to where the timing all that's gone, because this is the same crew, you know?
I think that Drew Brees is feeling pressure that sometimes isn't actually there.
Agree, like, 100%.
I feel like he is a little skittish, a little jumpy, and I think it's that part of that is just from getting hurt and then seeing what happened to him against the Vikings. And look, I mean, unfortunately, you're the punching bag until you're not, and Andres Pete missed two more blocks in week two. Has five blown blocks total, combined run and pass blocks, one of the worst in the league. Only two other players after week two have more blown blocks. So I think he's a little jumpy back there. And it's also, that's probably part of why he's not feeling confident that he can throw the ball even just past the stick, much less downfield. Mm-hmm. So I think all of that goes into it. And, as we're talking about this and that, I do feel like you saw really good signs that the run game improved. So at least you have that. Uh-huh. So maybe they lean on that a little while until they feel like they can kind of get in sync. But, Gus, you know, we're not, like, ready to call it a season, but we're not accustomed to seeing this consecutive week. And so it is something that, you know, heightens your sensitivity. And, you know, Drew Brees is 41, and the narrative nationally is basically he can't hack it anymore, and I'm not ready to say that, but still, there are definitely issues. But it's not just Brees. I think there are issues all over the offensive map.
Speak with Larry Holder of The Athletic, covers the New Orleans Saints here in the Sports Hangover. You know, Larry, one of the things that also stood out to me in terms of Brees' play, and it's not just him, and I'm going to get to that next, because he touched on the run game, and I think a lot of it has to do with Sean as well. It's some of these film cut-ups that you're seeing on social media from some of the people that are doing that, we're not used. I'm used to seeing bobblehead Drew Brees, right? Where his head's going left, right, reading through progressions, things of that nature. And there were some areas he could have delivered the football and taken shots that aren't deep shots, but just delivered it to Cook on a far sideline. It could have been a possible touchdown. He had space there. Checked off to Kamara and another one on the near sideline. Cook had nothing but green in front of him. Even on the crossing route that he missed low and to the right, that went through Traquan's hands. Sanders was coming open to cross from right to left. And if he just looks up, I mean, he's there. He could just lead him 10 yards in front, and Sanders is going to catch it running towards the other sideline. It's just strange to see Drew not seeing the field. Does that make sense?
Yeah, I agree. And, you know, look, Drew's play, it hasn't been great, but we're just accustomed to greatness, you know?
There you go. So true.
That's part of it. And when he has a couple of rough games, you're thinking, oh, my gosh, you know, you just expect Drew Brees to be Superman, really. And, you know, do I think he can start seeing that open field again? Sure. You know, so but it's something that we sit here and wonder, just because when does that aging quarterback go to the cliff and finally fall off? I mean, we've seen it happen time and time again in the NFL to the great one. And I think people are antsy, rightfully so.
Mm-hmm.
But look, I do feel like that, all right, if Michael Thomas comes back in a couple of weeks and things get going again, we'll probably just discard this. But we don't know when that's going to happen, and we need, it's almost like we need to see it more to believe it,
right,
rather than just assume it's going to happen just because of where Drew Brees is in his career.
So, look, obviously, in this segment, man, we've talked a lot about number nine. I think another thing, too, is the adjustment from Sean as well. And I've been talking a lot this week about identity, what you can fall back on if the quarterback isn't performing well. And a lot of that, I think, can help, especially if you're not pushing down the field, to open up the area for the passing game is the run game, Larry. And I was surprised Latavius Murray only got three carries. And I know you can go with the, well, they trailed. Well, they were also up 17-7 at one point. He still only had three carries. They had success running the football. They rushed for over 100 yards. And I just wonder if, you know, you look at the two teams they've played and the team that they're about to play here as well, the run game's important. I mean, Tampa won last week. Fournette rushed for over 100 yards. You heard over and over again from Sean Payton this week that the Packers are balanced. Do the Saints need to maybe run the football a bit more and depend on it? Or use the backs in the passing game? Screens, things like that.
Well, they're definitely using Kamara in the passing game. He caught 9 passes last week.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, that's happening. And look, I'm not going to say, oh my gosh, you should have ran Latavius Murray more, because Alvin Kamara is running it well. I mean, you're paying that guy, and he's more elusive. Look, so, to me, they changed game plans once they really got, say, that first drive in the second half, when it was penalty, and then after that, look, defense was just a sieve, and they had to switch approaches. So I'm not really going to fault him on that. But, you know, I do feel like, though, that you're going to have to lean on that ground attack because it's working. Like, we saw it improve. Like, that's the one phase we saw improve. And so I feel like the Saints are going to have to try to use that. But, man, you mentioned Green Bay. I mean, they're about as balanced as they come. You know, Aaron Rodgers is playing well. Aaron Jones is leading the NFL in rushing. And their number two back, Jamal Williams, you know, when he gets touches, I mean, he's productive. So at least the Saints, we know that their run defense is still pretty good. Look, Josh Jacobs, he did run it a lot, but didn't allow 100 yards. I mean, they fell asleep on the Richard run at the end. But I still feel like that they're still very good against the run. So, you know, at least I feel like the Saints can maybe hang in that aspect. But then when you turn around and look at them, I'm kind of jumping phases here. But I bet you Aaron Rodgers just throws it up and assumes a catch will happen or a PI will happen.
Right.
So that is an issue where I'm thinking, man, you know, he's one to take shots. And I'm wondering about the health of Davante Adams. I mean, even if he plays, he's probably going to be gimpy, and he might not play. Look, he's missed practice the last couple of days.
We'll see, man. Give me in 60 seconds, what do you expect to see Sunday night in the Dome?
I don't want to sound like a Debbie Downer, even though I've had both of my colleagues, Captain Terrell and our Green Bay Packers writer, have both picked the Saints to win. I don't think that's going to happen, given the cheat sheet I just did, all the numbers and analytics point to the Packers, and yet the Saints had probably more difficult competition than the Packers. So, oh man, how about I just call it a tie? Can I do that? Can I totally cop out on a prediction and just say they'll end in a tie?
No,
so I don't
have
to predict the Saints to lose.
Well, actually, we're having Matt on, so we're going to get his take also. So, no, you cannot just say a tie.
All right.
Well, Matt said the Saints are going to win. So,
oh, this could be a very interesting interview then coming up. He's right. He's right after you. So Larry's a going
tie,
with the tie.
A tie is a real thing. Like, you can actually tie.
It's very true. Larry, thank you so much for your time this afternoon. Enjoy the game, sir.
All right, guys. Good talking to y'all.
There he goes. And indeed, Matt Schneiderman is up next. Covers the Packers, beat writer for The Athletic. Don't go anywhere. It's Hour 1, brought to you by the King Firm. Don't play the game of claims with insurance companies. You've been injured in an accident. Ring the King, 504-909-KING. Sports Hangover on ESPN New Orleans. Someday, somewhere,
maybe I'll... Greg's SUV clearance sale is going on now at Greg LeBlanc Toyota. Highlanders, RAV4s, and 4Runners are all marked down to the lowest prices. Plus, Greg LeBlanc needs your trade-in today to restock our used inventory. Great service, great deals. That's the Greg LeBlanc way. Our goal is to save every buyer $2,000. $2,000. Go to our website and find your perfect ride. That's Greg LeBlanc Toyota in Houma. GregLeBlancToyota.com.
The great thing about facts, they're proven. Like the fact that crude oil contains impurities. Or that base oil made from natural gas is 99.5% free of impurities. And the fact that Pennzoil is the first synthetic motor oil made from natural gas, not crude oil. It gives you unbeatable engine protection. The proof is in the Pennzoil. Based on Sequence 4A wear test using SAE 5W30. Ask for it at your local automotive retailer.
It was nice seeing the teams back out on the gridiron for week one. There's no better place to get in on all of the action than with DraftKings, the leader in one-day fantasy sports. Download the DraftKings app and use code GREENY. For a limited time, new users can get a free shot at millions of dollars in prizes. Don't miss out on the week two action. Enter code GREENY to get a free shot at millions of dollars in prizes with your first deposit. Only at DraftKings. Make it rain. Minimum $5 deposit required. Eligibility restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com for details.
The devastation caused by Hurricane Laura was unprecedented. You can prevent additional damage by making a free call to 811 a few days before you dig or disturb the ground in any way. Calling 811 helps protect you from unintentional consequences caused by digging into underground utility lines. After calling 811, wait the required time, confirm all marks, and then dig with care. Call 811 before you dig. It's the law. This message provided by Common Ground Alliance.
Keyshawn Johnson, Jay Williams, and Zubin Mahente.
The Jets are the worst team in football right now. They're a mess.
There it is.
They're a legitimate mess. And Adam Gase played it safe. I've heard this from multiple Jets fans and watching the game too. You're down 24-3, 17-49. Like, you kick a field goal? Well, stop playing safe. What else are you there for? Try to win the game. At least show some kind of sense of urgency.
Keyshawn, Jay Will, and Zubin. Weekday mornings at 6 Eastern on ESPN Radio or streaming live on the ESPN app.
Got a hot take?
Everybody listen up.
Let's hear it. Call us at 800-998-1003.
Answer that phone.
Or tweet us at ESPN Radio NOLA. Now, back to the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengill.
One of the things, obviously, that Sir Lawrence of the Holder there, Larry Holder of the Athletic, thinks, Jordan, a tie is where he's going.
Unbelievable.
Catherine Terrell of the Athletic, she says Saints win. Let's see what... the other side feels. Matt Schneiderman over from The Athletic covers the Packers for them. Matt, good afternoon. How are you, sir?
Good. How are you guys?
I'm doing well. So Larry wants a tie from The Athletic over here in New Orleans. Before we get, I guess, to how you feel this game is going to go, just overall, man, the 2-0 start. Obviously, the Vikings aren't playing the way that we're used to sort of seeing. Detroit looks like they're struggling, but 85 points is still 85 points, and both wins have been impressive.
Yeah, I would say the Packers are cautiously optimistic about how they've started the season. Mm-hmm. Aaron Rodgers has stressed time and time again, it's only two games. And like you said, the Vikings and Lions could end up being one of the two worst defenses in the league this season. I know the Saints obviously had the disappointing loss to the Raiders on Monday, but I think they'll be a better litmus test for where the Packers are. But 85 points, 1,010 offensive yards in two games. You know, Devontae Adams in game one went 14 catches for 156 and two touchdowns. And Aaron Jones had 236 total yards. If the team tries to take away one of those guys, the Packers are just going to go to the other. So they're fortunate to have the 36-year-old quarterback who's playing really well and one of the best at the wide receiver position and the running back position at each of those spots.
One of our odds makers that likes to come on, we call him Mr. Vegas. He'll be on next hour. Rafael Esparza says the secret to Aaron Rodgers this year is he's single Aaron Rodgers again. I don't know if that's what's making the offense go that way. But, Matt, what has been the difference? Because he just looks so much more comfortable. Obviously, you keep hearing the word balance from a lot of the Saints players. Both he and Coach LaFleur have been saying it as well. And the dual backs in the backfield playing well, is that maybe part of the reason that he can survey the field and or maybe it's just confidence as well?
Yeah, I think it's a couple things. Like you said, he's in a better headspace, and I think that has more to do with it than people would think, just where he is mentally. He didn't explicitly say because he's single, but he did say he's made some decisions in his personal life this offseason that have him in a better headspace, so we can read it into that whatever we want. Second year of the offense, I think, is another big thing. He told us that at this point last year, he wasn't able to do some of the things in terms of, you know, changing plays at the line or knowing some of these lengthy play calls that Matt LaFleur gives him. And with a year under their belt of that already, he's more comfortable 2 weeks into this season. I think he trusts some of his receivers mm-hmm. a lot more. I know a lot was made this offseason about the Packers not drafting a wide receiver to help out Devontae Adams.
Right.
Rodgers has a lot more trust in Allen Lazard and Marquez Valdez-Scantling, their number two and three guys. And then, like you said, Aaron Jones and Jamal Williams, similar to the Saints, are a really good 1-2 punch in the backfield. They can catch, they can pass block, they can run. So I think those four things are a reason why this offense is firing on all cylinders to start the season.
Is that one of the more bizarro, I guess, storylines so far to start this young season? I mean, the Packers surprise everybody, go and get a quarterback and not, you know, getting anything else that would kind of help a team that got a first-round bye last year. And yet, here's Aaron Rodgers and the Packers with the highest-scoring offense in the league. It just, I don't know if a lot of people saw that coming because of that storyline, right?
Yeah, I think, obviously, it's a little too soon to judge whether those were, you know, good picks, especially the first two ones they made of Jordan Love and then A.J. Dillon, who right now is their number three running back.
Mm-hmm.
I think I expected them to go, you know, defensive line, inside linebacker, whatever, because, like you said, they were one step away from the Super Bowl, so normally you'd want to get that one impact player to push you over the hump. But at the same time, their only significant loss this offseason was right tackle Brian Bulaga, who signed for big money with the Chargers in free agency. Other than that, they return pretty much all of their core players that got them to the NFC Championship game last season. So I don't think the lack of drafting a wide receiver is as big of a deal as people like myself made it out to be. I think we're starting to see guys like Lazard and Valdez-Scantling prove why the Packers had enough trust in them to not go out and really get a wide receiver. And also, I mean, Devin Funchess, who has played pretty well for the Panthers in the past, has played in the Super Bowl before. They signed him in free agency to be their number two wide receiver, but he opted out of this season because he had a family member who died of coronavirus, and he experienced a lot of hardship with that in the past couple months. So, you know, they had to run it back with the wide receiver crew they had last year, and so far they're pretty pleased with the early return.
Speaking with Matt Schneidman, he covers the Packers, beat right over there for The Athletic. Matt, I know obviously the Saints and Saints fans are used to seeing a back like Alvin Kamara be used in the run game, passing game as well. We're seeing that with Jones and also with Williams back there. Kind of touch a little bit on that backfield and what we can expect to see Sunday night and how are the Packers using them?
Yeah, we asked Aaron Jones after last Sunday's game, during which he had 16 carries for 168 yards and two touchdowns and then four more catches for 68 yards and a touchdown, if he thinks he deserves a contract extension similar to the one Kamara just got. And he said, I think I'm pretty close to the level of him and Dalvin Cook, he said. So he's really humble. It's impossible not to like him as a person. He's a great guy. So he's looking for that same kind of contract extension since him and Kamara were obviously in the same draft class. But he can really do it all. He's a triple threat, can run, can pass, pass catch, I should say, can mm-hmm. pass block. And same with Jamal Williams. He doesn't get talked about as much because he doesn't put up the numbers, but he's an even better pass blocker. He worked all off season on his route running. He would text Aaron Rodgers videos of him running routes and catching passes in triple-digit heat. I believe down in Texas. I might be mistaken on that before he posted those videos on Instagram. He's really more of a thumper in the run game than Aaron Jones is. He's more of a lightning rod, lightning to Jamal Williams' thunder, I should say. So they've got a really nice combination back there like the Saints do with Kamara and Latavius Murray, and I think it'll be interesting to watch how they're used on Sunday night.
Matt, over onto the defensive side, I know Coach Payton talked a lot about Za'Darius Smith and how they like to use him a bit. I thought if I like Jair Alexander, the year he was coming out, would have been perfect to kind of pair with Marshon Lattimore, so I've kind of kept an eye on him. A couple of nice players on the defensive side kind of playing nicely to start the season, huh?
Yeah, and it's interesting you phrase it that way because they've got a couple star individuals, Za'Darius Smith, Jair Alexander, Kenny Clark, their Pro Bowl nose tackle who just became the highest paid nose tackle in NFL history. But for as many, you know, standout individuals that they have, they've had some trouble putting together a complete game. You know, against the Vikings, they give up an opening drive touchdown, then they give up 24 points in the fourth quarter when they have a big lead. Against the Lions, they give up touchdowns on the first two drives, then a touchdown right after they take a big lead in the fourth quarter. So they've outscored their opponents 57-3 in quarters two and three so far this season, but they've been outscored by a couple touchdowns in quarters one and four. So Mike Pettine, the former Browns head coach who's in his third year as Packers defensive coordinator, he knows that his offense, who currently leads the league in time of possession, isn't going to be able to hold the ball for 38 minutes every game. He told us yesterday, we got to hold up our end of the bargain. That starts with covering the middle of the field and tight ends and running backs who can catch passes. Because they've struggled to do that during his time as defensive coordinator. And it just so happens the Saints have two guys who could expose those deficiencies, obviously in Kamara, and then old friend Jared Cook, who people up in these parts are still disappointed that the Packers let him get away in free agency in 2017.
Mm. So that brings us to Sunday, and once the lights go on and the game gets going, how do you see this one, man?
Yeah, I did a story with Pat this morning, and we both picked Saints. I know she had a three-point game. I had Saints 28, Packers 24.
Wow.
I think people are counting out the Saints a little bit after their loss to the Raiders. What's up with Drew Brees' arm, whatever. And I think people are hyping up the Packers maybe a little too much because of the numbers they've put up against the Vikings and Lions, two really young, bad defenses, for lack of a better word. I think the Saints bounce back. I think they have the pieces to exploit where the Packers are weak on defense. I think Rodgers and Jones and, you know, I don't know if Devontae Adams plays. I know Michael Thomas doesn't look like he'll play, so the loss of both of those star receivers kind of cancel each other out. But I think the Saints bounce back, and I think the Packers look good but are brought back down to earth a little bit.
All right, Matt's got a 28-24 who dats. Matt, I'll say this as we move forward, even if New Orleans does bounce back and win, you're already seeing what the NFC West is doing. There's so many teams. This NFC seems stacked this year. You know, even the Bears are 2-0. So it's going to be interesting to see where this ends up at the end of the year with seven teams now making the postseason, only one getting that first round bye. So it does feel, even though it's early, like all these games are big. You don't want to go down too many, you know, games to teams that you think that you're competing for division championship or, you know, trying to get to the NFC championship.
No doubt. I think even with an expanded playoff field, the NFC East, I almost said NFC least there, so that might have been more applicable.
Like
they don't deserve a team in the playoffs. I mean, they stink, but I think it'll be the Cowboys this year. And then, you know, there might be only one team from the North and the South that get in if the Cardinals, Seahawks, Rams, and I just named four teams that are worthy of the playoff in that division. So the NFC is stacked. And, you know, that's probably the reason why guys like Russell Wilson, Drew Brees, Aaron Rodgers only have one Super Bowl, because it's so hard to come out of the NFC, and there's no better indication of that than this year, when there are probably 10 teams, Bears, Bucks, you could make a case for that really would do well in the playoffs.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting to see, man. Matt, I appreciate the time this afternoon. Enjoy the game on Sunday.
Thanks, guys. Appreciate it.
Yeah, for sure. Matt Schneidman, go give him a follow over on Twitter. It's Matt Schneidman, S-C-H-N-E-I-D-M-A-N. If you want to give a follow over on Twitter, get the inside scoop from The Athletic on the Packers. All right, Jordan, so here you go. We had a Saints take and a Packers take. Are you ready for some questions of the day? Does that help you maybe give me your score and your keys to the game? You just heard both sides. What is the face for?
Nothing.
What?
Nothing.
Their guy picked the Saints. You should feel more confident.
I believe in Matt.
Give me the questions of the day so we can go to break.
So it's what we do every Friday before a Saints game weekend. Saints fans, give us your keys to Sunday's game against the Packers. Also, give us a key player from both sides of the ball that needs to have a big game.
I like
game.
This music. Go ahead.
Offensive player, defensive player. And finally,
do it.
How many games do you think LSU will win this season?
This is good. Good stuff, buddy. Do it.
What? What are you laughing about?
Sports Hangover continues next on ESPN New Orleans. Do the hustle!
Now you know about Parker Kia's famously low prices, but did you know Kia's the number one mass market brand in initial quality 6 years in a row? Yeah, that means you get a whole lot more when you buy at Parker Kia. Take a look at the new 2020 Sorento SV6, a three-row, seven-seater SUV that comes with standard family favorite features like smartphone integration. Right now, you can take $6,000 off the MSRP. Want something smaller? How about a 2020 Kia Soul LX that you can drive home for just $69.95? Plus, Parker Kia has some of the hottest new models on the road today, like the all-new Kia K5, the evolution of the Optima, but now with more power, speed, and technology. And of course, we have to mention the all-new Kia Telluride, the 2020 Motor Trend SUV of the year. Get a whole lot more at Barker Kia. Shop online at BarkerKia.com. JD Power 2020 award information. Go to JDPower.com/awards for more details. Stock number 20KT277, MSRP 34505, 500 dealer discount, 5500 tub cash. Stock number 20KT009, MSRP 2038, 85 dealer discount, 2500 tubs for cash, less TTML. See dealer.
Avenue Wine and Spirits has one of the largest and most diverse wine and spirit selections in the city. At 2025 St. Charles Avenue, Avenue Wine and Spirits has some of the rarest bourbons, wines, and Japanese whiskeys, like 18-year-old Yamasaki. Avenue Wine and Spirits sells wine by the glass, and they've got free delivery for orders over $20. Dial 5.